How have Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green complemented each other in the Rockets' backcourt? What are some of the pros and cons that we've seen play out across this entire NBA season with those two guys in particular? How they play off of each other, how they play without each other on the basketball floor, how the team fares when those two guys are out there playing at their best or when they're at their worst. We're going to dive into all of that. And we're also going to talk about Garrison Matthews and some of the struggles that he's faced as of late. We're going to break it all down for you coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, also host of Locked On NBA Mondays and founder and managing editor of Clutch City Control Room, which is back. If you haven't checked out Clutch City Control Room before, be sure to check it out on Twitter. You can follow Clutch City CR on Twitter. You can also follow me at JT Gatlin and also, of course, follow the show at Locked On Rockets. Got a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to talk about Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. and how those two have complemented each other or haven't complemented each other this season for the Houston Rockets. What does that pairing really look like? What does the eye test say about those two guys in the Rockets backcourt, as well as some of the struggles that have been plaguing Garrison Matthews as of late? But first, a quick message. Got to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA. Or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Joining us now is my guy, Frank from Rockets Twitter, a diehard Rockets fan, also one of the members of the HTX Chop Shop crew. You can check them out for their post-game spaces on Rockets Twitter. You can also follow their handle at HTX Chop Shop on the Bird app. You can also follow Frank himself at FTank58. Frank, how's it going, my guy?
Doing good, bro. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm honestly, and I'm sure you can relate a little bit, I'm just kind of ready for this Rockets season to wind down a little bit. We got a lot of off-season content, going to be, you know, focused heavy on the draft, all of this. And it's honestly, the season's kind of happened in the blink of an eye, but one of the best storylines this season has been the growth and development, obviously, of Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., those two guys, you know, kind of the focal point of the Houston Rockets are kind of, you know, the two main focal points of the Houston Rockets this season, watching them both grow and develop. Kevin Porter Jr. as a point guard, Jalen Green kind of coming into his own as an NBA player. We've seen the absolutely ridiculous tear that he's been on as of late. And I think that's where, we should start our conversation today, because individually, like I've spoken in previous episodes, just kind of fawning over how talented Jalen Green is and like what he's looked like on a nightly basis. And even Kevin Porter Jr. has had some really standout individual performances. But with you, Frank, let's get into it here for a second, because I don't want to say that I'm necessarily on the fence about their pairing as a duo, but more so just like, it feels to me, at least right now, and we'll spend some time kind of dissecting this, it feels like their game is very much like your turn, my turn. And I don't know if they're necessarily directly benefiting off of each other in a given game, right? Where you see like Jalen creating and it leads directly to a KPJ bucket, or KPJ is creating and it leads directly to a Jalen Green bucket. I know that happens, you know, sometimes situationally, but I just don't know if they're necessarily feeding off of each other consistently over the course of a 48-minute game the way you might think a backcourt duo could be, if that makes sense.
Right. And, you know, that's pretty apparent when you watch them play. Like you said, it's kind of like, you know, if KPJ is doing good, Jalen usually is off to the side, kind of letting him do his thing. And it does remind me a bit of the Russell Westbrook and Harden pairing, because if you remember, they never played good, like rarely. They might have played good like one or two games in a few weeks where they played good together. And so just looking at them, I don't know if the synergy is there. What I believe is that they're both trying to figure out who they are as players. So two young guys, Jalen is a rookie trying to figure out where he stands in the NBA. Kevin Porter, you know, new position, in and out, you know, the playing time throughout his tenure in the NBA and still trying to figure out that point guard position. So they haven't even had the time to be comfortable enough to be able to feed off of other people. And, you know, I mean, there's some things that the team could do to improve that. But just looking at the numbers, no, they on paper, they haven't been great together. It's not the worst, but you know, it could be a lot better from what they've shown so far.
You know, and that's part for, especially for me, Frank, like that's one of the areas where I kind of struggle this season, where I internally try my best to kind of balance and not lean too heavily one way or the other versus like eye test versus, you know, advanced stats, right? Or like what the numbers say. Cause there's some people that skew heavily towards just not like, I know hoop, I know what I'm watching, they're good, right? And they won't like pay attention to the advanced numbers. Or there's people who just won't pay attention to what's actually taking place on the court. And they're only looking at box scores, advanced analytics, all that. And they're like, no, these guys are trash together, right? And so I try my best as an analyst of the game to try and balance both areas. But I do think that this is one of them where when you look at just this Rocket season as a whole and kind of where this team is at, it's really tough for me to want to pay attention to some of the advanced metrics that we do have on KPJ and Jalen, just because the season is kind of a lost cause in the sense like they've struggled defensively all throughout the season. They've got so many young guys out there. Like this is a team that is faced with a lot of, you know, a lot of learning curves, trying to figure things out on the fly, KPJ adjusting to a brand new role, like you alluded to, you know, getting accustomed to being a point guard at the NBA level, all these different variables at play. And so because of those different variables, it kind of makes me lean more towards just, all right, how do they look like on a given game? How do they look? How are they playing off of each other? And I do think that we can walk away very comfortable, at least in the fact that those two guys definitely look like they enjoy playing with each other. They look like they get up for one another when good things are happening on the floor. And they're both incredibly unselfish guys. And I think that's one thing that they do have working in their favor, where if you're looking at a potential backcourt of the future, right, with Jalen and KPJ occupying the Rockets backcourt for years to come, I don't think there's necessarily a worry there about, oh, Jalen, you know, oh, you know, or Jalen, you know, being in KPJ's shadow or vice versa, right? KPJ being in Jalen's shadow. They're both very, you know, excited for each other's success, and they want to see the other one do well. KPJ would be happy walking away with 5 points and 15 assists if it means Jalen's going to pop off for a 40 piece and vice versa. And I think the bigger point in that is, I think that's a big thing for Jalen, especially, right? Coming in as the number two overall pick, a big time rookie, like he could very much be just about like, no, I'm just going to go out there and get mine, right? I'm on a losing team. It doesn't matter. I'm the number two overall pick. Who cares what anybody else is doing on the floor? And we don't see that. We still see him kind of bought into the team mentality aspect of what the team's trying to do on a nightly basis.
Right. He's, I mean, you could tell even some of the, you know, we make jokes about him standing in the corner like PJ Tucker for the first half of the season. And even though he did look frustrated at some points, but, you know, I'll give the kid some kudos that he always kept it professional. And even in the postgame interviews, he never really tried to complain about any particular teammate or anything like that. Now, I did pull up some numbers for us to talk about with this. Now, the way I look at the team, you have to kind of break them up into two segments, because that first half of the season, like pre-All-Star break, the team and Jalen in particular was struggling a lot. And when we saw the resurgence after the All-Star break, it also came with some lineup adjustments that Silas made with playing certain guys, and obviously Schroeder and all those guys started coming in. So after, in the month of March, so we'll just use March as a sample size for looking at KPJ and Jalen Green. When they have the best lineup that they were on together was Kevin Porter, Jalen Green, Eric Gordon, Kenyon Martin Jr., and Alperen Şengün. So that lineup played 95 possessions together. They were a plus 9.3 per 100 possession, and were shooting 64.3 on EFG for those 95 possessions, which was one of the best lineups for that sample size in there. And if you look throughout the Rocket stats, Eric Gordon really stabilizes Kevin Porter and Jalen Green lineups. When he's in the lineup, they're okay. When he's not in the lineup, they kind of bottom out. So to me, there's like, if, even on the year, you know, they're not good. If you combine everything from the entire year, they're a negative 10 per 100 possession for the entire season. But what that tells me is that it might not just be, we can't really assess how good they're going to be going forward, because first of all, our lineups are wonky, sometimes pretty trash with the way the team is constructed in certain parts. But when you see these little glimpses of a possible future lineup where you have Kevin Porter, Jalen Green, Kenyon Martin, which everybody is begging to start at some point, Şengün, which everybody's begging to start, then you add that, I'm going to say EG is a prototype, not really EG himself, but you insert a defensive shooter, a 3-and-D guy, that is not ball, you know, ball dominant, that is not, you know, going to take a bunch of shots, that spaces the floor really, really well, and you got Jaylen dropping 30, hey man, you cooking. I'm not trying to make any implications with draft, but you know.
No. It's no. It very firmly sounds like this is building towards a lot of Jabari Smith hype, which I'm currently all about.
But I'm just saying the numbers are there. Any EG lineup and EG style of, like I said, low usage, good shooter, good defender, plug that into those young guys, it stabilizes those lineups. And I'd love to see what that would look for a full season. You notice there's no Wood in there. So,
that's a different conversation for a different day, talking about Christian Wood. But coming up, I want to keep this conversation rolling on and focused on Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr. We'll also talk a little bit about Garrison Matthews and some of the struggles that he's faced, especially in this kind of latter half of the Rockets season. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Prize Picks. Are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to check out the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Look, it's so simple, so easy to understand. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times back on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that simple. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Prize Picks also allows mixed sports entries, and for a limited time, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Listeners get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores even just a single point, just 1 point, one bucket, right? That's it. You just have to use promo code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On listeners only. Sign up today and use code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores just a single point. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. And another message from our friends over at BetOnline, because BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. You know you've got the NBA playoffs right around the corner. You can still bet on the NBA title favorites right now. Right now, the Phoenix Suns are walking away plus 300 as the championship favorites this season. You've got the Milwaukee Bucks at plus 450, and then rounding out the top five, you got the Golden State Warriors, the Boston Celtics, and the Brooklyn Nets at plus 700, plus 750, and another 750 respectively. So go check out Bet Online for all of those odds, because BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, be sure to check out the Locked On Now podcast. Nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's keep this conversation rolling, Frank, and focused on KPJ, Jalen Green, because I'll admit, especially earlier this season, less so now, and I'll get into the reasons why, I was a little hesitant about the idea of a future with a backcourt of Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., if only because I didn't want essentially to be Portland Trailblazers part two, right? Where you have two, you know, arguably dynamic scoring guards in the backcourt, but not necessarily like a true, I don't know. Again, like I think there's some, you know, weird, like, you know, idea amongst NBA fans, myself included sometimes, about like wanting to have that like floor general point guard to like steer the ship and, you know, control the pace of the game, like all of that. And I think that you look around the league and you see some of the guards that are capable of doing those types of things, right? You see Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, guys that are kind of like that, where they can just control the flow of a game very differently than some of the other guards in the league. But that said, I don't think that's a necessity to find success at the NBA level. And there's two areas that have kind of pushed me away from those worries. And the first of which is Alperen Şengün. I actually think that if the Rockets do move forward with him as their starting five, I think you can maybe get away from the need of having, again, a true blue, like floor general point guard out there. If you have Alpi as kind of like the fulcrum offensively to kind of run some sets through. And then if he's kind of your, maybe not your anchor offensively, but if you're running a heavy amount of sets through him as your like primary playmaker almost, and you've got two dynamic guards in KPJ and Jalen Green, that could be kind of a new look NBA offense, essentially very akin to what we see the Denver Nuggets do, running a heavy dose of their offense through Nikola Jokic. But then the other part of it is actually Kevin Porter Jr. himself, right? He has spent obviously this entire season trying to get acclimated to being a point guard at the NBA level and really, you know, embracing that role. But he's also improved tremendously as a defender, and he's improved tremendously as a consistent three-point shooter. And I think that's the area that gives me a lot of confidence that as long as he is willing to, at times, take a backseat if needed to Jalen Green, which it looks like he's very comfortable doing that in certain situations, not as much to my liking as I would have liked to see in certain situations, right? KPJ has the ball down the stretch of some of these most recent, you know, close Rockets games. And arguably, I think Jalen Green has earned that right at this point in the season to kind of take some of those last minute shots. But as long as he's willing to take a bit of a backseat to Jalen Green in the pecking order offensively, I don't see why KPJ can't thrive and flourish next to Jalen Green, as essentially he's basically a 3-and-D point guard now when you think about it.
Yeah, that's really the million-dollar question for their pairing, because you have to think about at some point he's going to realize that Jalen is that guy. And is he going to be mature enough to be able to, like, accept that? Even though this guy's younger than me and I've been here a year and a half or so, or a year longer than he has, can I concede some of those things that I normally do, like close out the games too? And you can see that he's starting to recognize Jalen's greatness and his talent, but, you know, there are still stretches, especially towards the end of games, where he gets a bit like, okay, this is my turn to do this. And like you said, let's say next season comes, we draft another guy. There's a good chance that Kevin Porter may move down the rung to the third. Or if Al P even evolves even more, then he might be the fourth option. And to me, it's not that he may be, you know, he may be second, he may be first. We don't know, but I don't want our team to be just married to the idea that he has to be the guy. And I think he has enough talent that if he's able to accept whatever role naturally comes based on the talent of the guys around him, then I think he can work. As far as his the point guard thing, like you said, there's not like a standard quote unquote point guard. You know, like they have LeBron, is he a point guard? You know, is Luka really a point guard? Is, you know, Jokic is likely the quote unquote point guard. I like to use the term just the offensive initiator, and different teams have different guys. Draymond does it for Golden State. You know, he's the guy that kind of sets the table for those Hall of Fame backcourt that they have. And if Şengün could be that, or we can do it like the Spurs did by committee, where you have multiple guys that are able to kind of use their IQs to set the offense, then, you know, we might not need that. But my concern is that key word, the IQ. We have a young team, a lot of low IQ guys right now, and they're, you know, they're young and just trying to learn. And if they can make those leaps, then yes. But KPJ, I like him. I don't want him to be making the decisions down at the end of games, but I think with his defense and his spot-up shooting, you know, he's almost shooting 50% from spot-ups. And I think that's the type of guy that you can keep, whether as a wing or a combo guard that can get his own if need be, or if we get better talent in the future, maybe off the bench as a guy that can contribute to a winning program.
Yeah, the catch and shoot numbers have been so impressive from him. And again, that kind of leans into a big part of like, okay, well, if you've got Jalen initiating a fair chunk of the offense, or at least, you know, leveraging his gravity as a scorer to create opportunities for other guys on the floor, you want guys who are going to be successful in those catch and shoot opportunities, because they're going to be plentiful when you've got a guy who's going to be commanding double and triple teams conceivably a little bit further down the line, maybe as early as next season, the way he's winding down this season. But there was one other kind of interesting stat that I found when I was looking at some of just the impact numbers for when Jalen and KPJ are sharing the floor together. And Jalen is actually shooting significantly better when he's on the floor with Kevin Porter Jr. And this is one of those where it's like, you know, I feel like there probably needs to be some more context provided behind the number, but post All-Star break, when KPJ is on the floor with Jalen Green, Jalen is shooting about 11 percentage points better on his true shooting percentage than without Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor. He's down to about 50% true shooting without KPJ, and he's up to about 62% true shooting, with KPJ on the floor. So that, you know, maybe it's one of those where the advanced numbers are just kind of, you know, painting a bit of an incomplete picture, but it could be something where you look at it and you're thinking, okay, well, there are some opportunities where KPJ does really create for the team, for his teammates, or if he's not creating even directly for Jalen Green, right? One of the like kind of principles of the Steven Silas's offensive philosophy is, you know, heavy in the drive and kick game, right? Just get the defense rotating, get them, you know, moving from guy to guy. And then if you can swing the ball around the perimeter and keep making that extra pass to the next man, you're going to create better, more advantageous opportunities. And ultimately, even if KPJ is the guy who starts it and it goes through two or three other guys before it finally gets back to Jalen Green. If he's attacking a defense that isn't set because of something that KPJ started on the initial action, then that is inherently something that's beneficial to Jalen Green to be able to attack a defense that is, you know, kind of scattered.
Yeah, I definitely. And the eye test kind of matches that. When they play, usually in the first half of our game, especially post All-Star break, they're usually either in the game or winning the game. It's really when we go to that bench unit that the wheels fall off of there. So I think there is something to that. And even a lot of the lineups after the All-Star break did not feature heavy minutes from our veterans. And Jalen has, I think it's a mixture of him just getting better, plus lineups being more favorable. And the fact that, Kevin Porter and him and Silas doesn't really stagger them that much. And when he does, to me, he puts Jalen out with some bad lineups. So, the numbers, I think they kind of pass the eye test like I said, they can work. It's just a matter of who are the guys that are going to be there when it really matters. I mean, it's okay right now in March or April when we're playing Sacramento or all these teams that are, have really nothing to play for right now. But the way I imagine the team is, if 2 years from now, when we're in the playoff series, who do I want on the court? And I think that's really when we got to start answering the question about, is Kevin Porter and Jalen Green, is that a pairing that's going to work? And if they're not able to find that rhythm together where they can play off each other's strengths, then it might be a problem. But as for right now, I still think we're just going to keep looking at it and trying to figure out what works best for Jalen. Mike, one of my friends at Hosted Space, he always says he doesn't even worry about Jalen because at some point he's going to be so great, it won't even matter what KPJ is doing. Like, he's just going to be that guy. And if he can ever get there, then, we're there. It'll be like Harden dragging some teams to, 55 wins that have no business doing that.
Man, well, let's get into kind of final thoughts here on KPJ, Jalen Green, as well as the points that we want to hit on with Garrison Matthews. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's basically impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the car parts that you need. Why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your car an LX or an EX? And all this, right? You can save time and money when you use rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Best of all, Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The prices are always reliably low for every single customer. They've got everything that you could possibly need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even brand new carpet. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto parts needs. And here's the really important part. When you go to checkout at rockauto.com, be sure to write "Locked On" in the "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Be sure to visit rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NBA every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. I host the Locked On NBA Monday show. It's always a ton of fun. 3 interviews from around the league about the biggest stories. This past Monday, we talked about your Houston Rockets and just how good Jalen Green has been. So go check out that show. Frank, I think one of the biggest areas when you look at KPJ, right, and kind of the timeline for this Rockets team, big question mark for this season and why the Rockets really needed to try and find out what they had with Kevin Porter Jr. is because he's extension eligible this summer. And I don't know about you, but I think for me, especially given the incident on New Year's Day and just what happened with the halftime situation. And even though it was largely, I think, overblown and the team quickly recovered from that, obviously coming back, KPJ hitting the, kind of storybook game winner against the Wizards, all those different, variables at play. Past that, I do think that that moment potentially kind of signified that with KPJ, I feel like the Rockets are going to be very comfortable allowing him to go to restricted free agency at the end of next season. I don't think the extension talks are going to be on the table at all this upcoming summer. And for me, I don't think that's the end of the world, right? Because while I'm still very intrigued by the possibility of Kevin Porter Jr. as the backcourt running mate for Jalen Green for years to come, there's also that part of me where I'm just like, what is there a better fit out there, right? Is there a better guy to be, the Robin to KPJ's Batman in the Rockets backcourt for years to come as he grows into the hopefully future NBA superstar that we think he can become, a better complementary piece for him? And when you look at KPJ, even if you do let him run all the way through next season and get to restricted free agency, let's say he absolutely balls out next season, has a great year. If a team throws the bag at him next summer and he's, you know, somebody's trying to offer him like $20 million a year or whatever, it's going to be because he deserves it because he had such a strong season. And at that point, if you're the Rockets, I feel like you'd be pretty comfortable matching that level of money, assuming it's not like, you know, a completely albatross contract, like 4 years, $25 million might be a little much for KPJ. But if he's performing at a high level and if he's looking really good alongside Jalen Green and those two guys look like a strong 1-2 tandem, then why not throw the money at him and just lock him down long term? And that can be something that can be addressed not this summer, but next summer in the grand scheme of where the Rockets are at with this rebuild.
I think that would be the ideal scenario, but I'm a little concerned about somebody with his, I guess, background having the pressure of playing as an expiring contract. And what that may do to his psyche, and if he has a bad game, two bad games, three, a bad month, where does that go? And, you know, that would be one of my biggest concerns is, can he handle the pressure of having to play in the basically with an uncertain future with the team? And if he can, then I think that's the best thing. What I think they're going to do, honestly, I think they're going to try to talk to him this summer and see if they can find a middle ground, a fair contract where they can possibly do a, you know, maybe a 3-year extension or something like that, that would get that off the table. Because, you know, his talent is there. I wouldn't even mind if they extended him. The only thing, the concern with the extension is if let's say he does do bad, right? You extend him, he does do bad because of his off-court issues. Then you also have to think that you can't really trade him because he doesn't really have a lot of trade value right now. So that may be something that will become an issue, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just a little wary about KPJ's a full expiring. I can't imagine like it's, you know, it's like April or something. And, you know, we're making a push for a, you know, trying to make the play in next year. And he's been his numbers have been bad for like, you know, a few weeks. And like, we're just ball hog mode trying to get that contract. And if, you know, not saying he doesn't have the ability to not be that type of person, but I don't know. That's a lot to ask for somebody like, you know, that's young and having some of the off the court, you know, composure issues that we've seen him display.
Yeah, I think contract year guys are tricky, right? Because it's almost, you know, in a way, it's almost like fool's gold, right? Let's shout out Rockets legend Trevor Ariza, who was like the king of contract years in the NBA, where Trevor Ariza would turn into an all-star during contract seasons and then suddenly like regress the very next year. And you'd be like, yo, what happened to Trev? Like, he's gone. And he was the ultimate fool's gold when it came to contract years. But that is a great observation. And I think that is something that could be an area of potential concern, right? Where you're weighing the pros and cons of, okay, do you let him roll to restricted free agency? Do you let him run on a contract year and kind of, you know, roll the dice on what his play actually looks like, whether he's going to be still bought in and still trying to, you know, play team ball first and foremost, or if he's going to start trying to go after his numbers to secure his future if he doesn't necessarily know if he's going to be a part of the Rockets' future. So great observations there, but let's take a moment. Let's change gears here and actually move towards Garrison Matthews, who's a guy that I've mentioned, you know, on the show a couple times, just some of the recent struggles that he's faced. And I don't know about you, Frank, but it feels like Gary Bird, you know, I don't know if it was as short-lived as like Lynn Sanity was, but it does kind of feel like we got very caught up in the Gary Bird hype when the Rockets were at a very low point this season. Shout out to when we had the MVP chants for Gary Bird inside Toyota Center at the peak of the Rockets win streak earlier this year. And it really does feel like Gary Bird has kind of since come back down to earth. And it's almost very similar to like Armani Brooks last season, right? Where it's a feel good story. He comes into the lineup, bad team, gets a bunch of reps, gets like 20, 25 minutes a night, putting up like, you know, 6, 7, 8 threes a game. And sometimes he'll pop off for, you know, 15, 20 points. In other games, he goes like 1 for 7 and he's, you know, completely taking shots that are without, you know, not in the flow of the offense. And it's disruptive and defensively. I think Garrison Matthews is a bit more equipped defensively than Armani Brooks was, just because he's a bit bigger and he can get away with a little bit more because of the size that he's got. Whereas Armani, 6'2", not a lot going on there, unfortunately. Armani's still my guy. I love him. But Garrison, 6'5", can play a little bit bigger than Armani could. still, you know, gets burnt a lot defensively, despite the hustle, despite the effort. Yes, we see the charges that he picks up, but I mean, he's basically getting like one charge every two or three games. Like, that's not a game changer, unfortunately. It's hype in the moment when it happens, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really impact a whole lot. And I do wonder if again, we maybe got a little too caught up in the Gary Bird hype. And while he's around for the end of the season and he's still locked down on a long-term contract, he did get the Armani Brooks special where there's not a lot of guaranteed money on the table. The Rockets could drop him at any moment if they feel they need that roster spot for somebody else. I don't necessarily know if Gary Bird is going to stick around for the long haul with this Rockets team.
I mean, I think we're a bit premature with the Larry Bird meme. So, but just looking at his stats. So right now he's shooting 39% from the field, 36 from three on six attempts, 10 points per game. So I looked up, like, because we know, to me, my biggest thing that drives me crazy about Garrison Matthews is his shot selection. It is beyond me. I've never seen anybody just willingly take the worst shots that they possibly could than him. So I looked up, you know, on NBA.com, Second Spectrum tracks shot, you know, based on the defender's proximity to the players. When he shoots, which is very tight from 0 to 2 feet with a defender, he's shooting just like less than half a shot from there. It's 20. He's shooting 21% on those shots. When it's tight, 2 to 4 feet with a defender, considered tight, 29% of his threes come from there. He's shooting 25% on those. When he's open, which is 34% of his shots, he's shooting, guess what, 43%. And when he's wide open, he's shooting 42%. So Garrison Matthews, if you're watching this, please just shoot open shots, bro. Like, he doesn't have to, you know, the wraparound where the guy is like on his neck and he's trying to shoot it or he's just diving for it. Those are bad shots. And I always think that, like you just said, as a defender, he is, I would say probably our weakest link now since Jalen has really kind of picked it up. On isolation, he's one of the worst defenders on our team, giving up 1.10 points per possession, 20th percentile in the NBA, and he's fouling like almost 20% of his defensive isolation attempts. So, like you said, I always imagine our team and like, where are we trying to go, right? So if we were in the playoffs, as we know, what are they going to do? They're going to hunt him down and make Gary Bird guard Ja Morant, right? For over and over and over again until Kosalas pulls him and he's unplayable. And so I guess right now, the way I view it is that he's a guy that can help us in spots, but he is the role that he has on this roster is a little bit like the old folks used to say, he's playing bigger than his britches right now. So all those minutes that he's playing right now, like, I don't think that going forward, once we start drafting more talent and getting more free agents to come in, he can kind of just slide down to a more better role where he's going to be a regular season contributor, but I don't see him as a seventh or eighth man in a playoff rotation for our team right now.
And it's so tough, right? Because with a guy like that too, who can, you know, kind of give you that spark offensively, I do think he's been kind of given, you know, almost a disservice to Gary Bird in the sense that, like, you know, it post All-Star break, one, his 3-point shooting post All-Star break is down to about 34% from the floor, which is just not great when you're shooting five threes a game. You know, you don't want to have a volume 3-point shooter who's shooting below league average from three. That's just not a recipe for success whatsoever. But then on top of that, he started 11 of those 21 games, and you know, plugging in Garrison Matthews in place of Eric Gordon, there's a distinct drop-off in production when you do that, right? We talked about just how impactful EG has been, kind of that stabilizing force, doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hands to impact the game on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. He stretches the defense out, he spaces things, and he's kind of there as the safety net for Jalen Green, for Kevin Porter Jr. offensively at the end of, you know, maybe a botched offensive possession or whatever. Whereas Garrison Matthews is kind of the inverse of that, right? Like, he'll lay hands on the basketball at 18 seconds on the shot clock and pull up from 25 feet because, the defender is maybe, you know, halfway done rotating over. And he's like, all right, no defender within 2 feet of me, I'm pulling the trigger on this shot.
And just to add real quick to what you just said. So just exactly what you said, when EG, Jalen, KPJ, Tatum with our starting regular lineup, in March, they were a plus 10 per 100 possession. When EG went down and they put Garrison Matthews in there, they're a negative 9.5. So almost a 20-point swing from just replacing him and Eric Gordon on that team. So just to illustrate, you know, just what you just said about, you know, him being in that starting lineup.
Yeah, and I like it's and it is tough, right? Because I do think there is potentially a role for him, right? As like, you know, one of those, you know, ninth, 10th, maybe 11th, you know, guys on a roster who can, you know, get you some spot minutes during a regular season, you know, give you 10, 15 a night. And, you know, basically you plug him in and he's... It makes me think of like Gerald Green in a sense, right? Yep. Where like Gerald Green was like that, you know, lightning in a bottle kind of guy off the bench where you plug him in for like 5 minutes in the first half. And if he's got it that night, if he's a bucket, bet he gets more second half minutes, right? Because he's going to fill it up. He's going to potentially win you a game with the offensive, you know, bag that he has, hitting shots, all that, you know, some of the crazy shots that Gerald would hit, some of the questionable shots that he would take. Sure. You kind of see that same offensive repertoire with Garrison Matthews, where you're like, what are you doing? You're disrupting the flow of the offense. But if the shots go in, nobody's going to complain. It's when the shots aren't going in, you're like scratching your head. You're like, yo, what are you doing? You know, pulling a shot with 20 seconds left on the shot clock. So I do think that, you know, I don't necessarily think he's got like a long-term fixed role as part of like the, you know, he's not going to, I don't think he's going to be here or at least be a big part of the team when the team is trying to actively win again, I think is probably the safest bet when it comes to Gary Bird. So I do think we maybe started counting our eggs before they were hatched when it comes to the great Garrison Matthews here.
Yeah, when the Larry Bird memes went up, I think we're a bit premature. But I would say one thing for him, like he could help himself. One thing I liked about Mike D'Antoni's offense, even though it was very kind of simple and redundant, it really made players, like broke players down to their simplest roles. And I think in an offense like Silas runs, where you have, like I just want to pull my dreads out when I see Garrison Matthews trying to run a pick and roll. There shouldn't be no universe on earth or in any galaxy where Garrison Matthews should be initiating a pick and roll with Garuba, of all people. So, like, bro.
Yeah, that's a train wreck waiting to happen, man.
Like, just stand in the corner. Like, we need him to be a Mike D'Antoni catch and shoot guy. We don't need a Silas. Like, he would flourish in that system where you have an offensive engine breaking down the defense and you just catch and shoot. But I think they are empowered to do a lot. It's just not for everybody. And I can see. I see him running fast breaks, and it just drives me nuts.
Well, with that, we're going to do a tankathon spin because we're going to wrap this episode up here in just a moment. And as always, at this point in the year, we've got to run a tankathon spin here at the tail end of the show. But before we do that, Frank, do us all a favor. Let our listeners know a little bit more about HTX Chop Shop, kind of what that's all about, how they can follow you guys, how they can consume y'all's content.
Yeah, for sure. HTX Chop Shop is just a fan platform that me and a group of friends created. We like to call it we're the Netflix of Rockets content, meaning that we allow any platform to share within that page where you want to bring out content to everybody. At the same time, we do produce some original things, we have writers that are part of the group. We have people that create different graphics. We have people that create different audio visual things, but really what it is just a hub for Rockets content. So like you, Jackson, if you had a podcast or something you wrote up that you wanted to send out to the fans, we retweet it and try to use that platform to share out. So the motto we use for it is for fans, by fans, and it's just an open forum. And just to give, you know, Rockets Twitter another avenue to kind of, consume content from, you know, places they may not have noticed that people were making content from. So I do want everybody at the handle is at HCX Chop Shop. If you're a writer, you do graphics, you do pods, anything you do, if you would like to have a platform where we can try to assist you in getting out there so the fans can see what you're doing, just hit us up and we'll be more than willing to try to share your talent and what you do to the rest of the Rockets universe.
Absolutely. I love that whole mission statement. I love what you guys are trying to do over there. It's been awesome. As soon as it was conceptualized, I know it kind of started with the spaces with you and Mike and with Zay and to see it kind of grow into what it is now. It's really exciting stuff, man. I couldn't be more proud of you guys. It's very cool to see. So absolutely go give them a follow on Twitter at HTX Chop Shop. Also be sure to give Frank a follow on Twitter as well at FTank58. But Frank, it's that time for the show. We got to do a tankathon spin. Okay. And we didn't actually talk about any draft stuff now. And as you being the guest, you know, depending on where the Rockets land, you're going to get to make the pick for them. Oh my goodness. That is a terrible spin.
Where we at, man? Don't.
All right.
Spin it again.
No. We are one and done here. That's how this works. Terrible spin here on this one. Unfortunately, Sacramento jumps up six spots to number one overall. Orlando drops to number two. The Lakers pick jumps up five spots to number three, which goes to New Orleans. So they walk away with the third overall pick. San Antonio jumps up five spots to number four, and the Rockets are all the way down at number five.
Ooh, that's not bad. That's not bad. Top five. I'll take that.
It's not horrendous. So what I'm going to go ahead and do just for, you know, make things very simple. I'm not going to pick where they're all going to go. I'm just going to clear the more or less consensus top four off the board in some capacity. So no Jabari, no Chet, no Paolo, and no Jaden Ivey. Frank, where are you going with that number five pick for the Houston Rockets?
Let's see. Number five. I think it's going to be a wing. I think right now, just based on what we spoke about earlier with the Aaron Gordon stabilizing thing, I think we can groom somebody to be in that role. So it's going to be between Sharp and AJ Griffin. And I'm going to go Sharp. I'm going to go Sharp with that number five pick. I think that and he may not even be there, honestly, from what I've been hearing. A lot of teams are really high on him. And maybe Ivy, if Sharp isn't that tie, I think Ivy may fall to us. And I will take Ivy with a blink of an eye if he's there.
Yeah, there's, I mean, you know, Sharp has that possibility to maybe be the surprise, like Scotty Barnes jump pick in this year's NBA draft. And if Jaden Ivey were to fall down to number five, or potentially, you know, maybe Paolo drops a couple spots or something, I would walk away with either of those two guys at number five ecstatic. I'm also very, you know, I go back and forth between AJ and Benedict Mathurin quite often at that number five spot, kind of that 5-6 area between those two guys, because I think either one of those could be groomed into like a perfect wing to be a complimentary piece alongside KPJ and Jalen Green. But Frank, I appreciate you stopping by Locked On Rockets. It was a pleasure to have you on the program. Look forward to having you back here sometime in the not so distant future. But do me a favor really quick. Let the listeners know where they can track you down at.
Track me at FTank58. The handle is apathetic on Twitter. Like I said, the at HTX Chop Shop, that's where I do a lot of the content that I do. I do a lot of charts and data kind of analysis for the Houston Rockets, you know, their players, and look at different trends going on. You know, follow and, you know, just keep supporting all the different content creators for the Rockets Twitter universe. And, you know, we're in a golden age of content right now, Jackson. So I'm just really happy that we're all get to kind of support each other and try to move this thing forward.
Absolutely. It is a great time to be a Rockets fan. Frank, I appreciate you stopping by the show, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right. That's going to do it for today's episode. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check out the new YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. How do you feel about the Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green discourse? Are they the future backcourt for the Houston Rockets? Do you have concerns about their fit? Are you completely bought into the idea of KPJ and Jalen Green long-term, or do you want to see somebody else alongside Jalen Green in the not so distant future? Let us know in the comments. I do read each and every one of those after every single episode, but as always, thank you so much for watching, so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.